Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm hunkering down for winter. Supposed to be here by the morning.
Oh.
Getting excited.
Yeah.
Might be snow. There's snow in North Florida, apparently.
Is there?
Yeah.
I bet that's freaking them out.
Eh, it was only a dusting.
Oh. I thought in the Bible Belt, like, especially up in North Florida, they'd be thinking it was the end of the world.
Oh, no. We've got 7 more years before the end of the world.
Is it just 7?
Well, it was supposed to be 7 years of peace, and then that would be the end of it, but...
Yeah, but come on, it's not like there's real peace. Just because somebody says there's peace doesn't mean there's really peace.
Yeah,
right? Especially when you're turning a paramilitary force on your own people. You can't be the bringer of peace. That doesn't work.
There's a lot of... Yeah. Don't even know where to start with that one.
Yeah. It's a fucked up situation.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
So what's new this week?
Not too much. You know, just watching some TV shows. We had some new things premiere this week. We had some other things continue. Did you by any chance catch the first couple of episodes of the new Star Trek series?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So they did a 2-episode premiere of Star Trek Starfleet Academy, which was billed more for a younger audience.
Definitely.
But some returning faces, some actors that you wouldn't necessarily associate with Star Trek. So Holly Hunter is the captain, who's 400 years old. She is the same species as Peli from Strange New Worlds. You also have Paul Giamatti as the half-Klingon, half-Tellarite bad guy who has a vendetta against Holly Hunter because she threw him in jail for killing people and stealing food. This is set... So apparently this is set during either season 4 or 5 of Discovery. It's not happening after Discovery. It's not happening, far in the future. This is concurrent with, one of the Discovery seasons to where, like, Jet Reno wasn't on the ship for a while because apparently she was teaching at Starfleet Academy. We're going to get, what's her name? Tilly at some point.
Right.
As an instructor, the doctor from Voyager is back. Robert Picardo has reprised his role. And they have... So, because Robert Picardo played the doctor for the last time 30 years ago, and he has aged 30 years since then, they had to kind of explain it, and their explanation is that he wrote in a subroutine into his programming, so he ages to not scare the normies, basically. Which I thought was a little weird because the doctor never struck me as somebody who would care if people were uncomfortable by the fact that he doesn't age.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's fine. It's an explanation for why he looks older, without having to do a bunch of de-aging shit. But it's also stirred up a lot of controversy online. Some people really love this show. Some people really hate it. What did you think of the two episodes?
I really liked them.
Yeah.
I did think it was a little bit of 90210 in space.
Yeah.
But by the end of the show, by the end of the second episode, that didn't bother me as much.
Yeah, there's very much a formula that they're trying to follow of, like, young people in college.
Sure.
You know, and they're for the first time in a long time, I feel like Star Trek is being written by a younger generation. And they're not so much bound by not canon, but like the rigidness of Gene Roddenberry's original vision. It's more laid back. There's more jokes. There's a lot more humor in this than I thought there would be. But I think it all works. And I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. When I watched the trailers, I was like, this isn't really going to be for me. You know, they're not speaking to me. They're speaking to 19 and 20-year-old sci-fi fans that can relate to people going off to college for the first time. And,
right.
You know, but it, at the heart of it, there is still Star Trek. And I feel like it's going to be a good show. I really do. I kind of just feel like somebody along the line was like, look, you guys all had your chance to write Star Trek. Let's see what happens when you write for a younger audience by younger people.
Right.
And there's still a ton of references. There's still a ton of, like, the memorial wall on the Athena is filled with names of everybody from the past Star Trek films. One of the things, the big meeting that takes place in the second episode takes place at the James T. Kirk Pavilion. So they're giving homage to Trek, but they're also blazing their own trail, and I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Star Trek Discovery became too much of the let's talk about our feelings while we're getting fired at, like, show.
Right, yeah.
And that didn't really work. And Strange New Worlds is more or less the episode, or not episode, but like season zero of the original series. And, you know, that's fine for what that is. But I think, like, them trying to talk to the younger generation just really works. So.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the look of everything in this.
Yeah.
Although it looks to be a big luxury hotel. Like, the Bridge of the Athena looks like that should be the bar.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, I like that, what's her name? Aki? Nala. Nala?
Wait, which one?
Nala's her first name. Holly Hunter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I love that her apartment is very much like a Frank Lloyd Wright homage.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool because it looks like that kind of mission style architecture, but it's not.
Yeah.
I do wish she would comb her damn hair.
Well, I think that plays into the character, though. I think that plays into, you know, she's walking around with no shoes on in the second episode. And she's just like, she's like the freewheeling hippie that became a captain.
So she's going to be a crazy cat lady.
Kind of.
She's going to collect tribbles.
Maybe. But also when Vance goes to get her on, was it Bajor? Were they on Bajor?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
I did not realize how ripped Holly Hunter was as far as like her muscular arms.
Right.
Like she's wearing a sleeveless shirt and she's like holding these ice cream cones to these kids and she's like flexing right. her guns. And I'm like, whoa, it's like, holy shit. Okay. I mean, good on her. She's like in her 60s and she's still kind of like ripped. So like good for her. And I think that's just kind of her is going to be her character is like the crazy cat lady. She's not going to do things quite the way that Starfleet wants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it all just seems refreshing. It all just seems like they're not falling in the stereotypes.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some stereotypes.
So I hope they keep it up.
Yeah.
They've definitely set a different tone for it.
Yeah.
You realize that who's the boy? Caleb?
Yeah.
That She-Hulk was his mother?
You know, I didn't realize that until I saw a breakdown afterwards online where they were like, Tatiana Maslany, and I was like, that was her? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't recognize her at all in the moment. And I don't think I knew that she was in the show, so.
I definitely did not know.
Yeah. But that's interesting. I mean, apparently she just told Marvel to fuck off and she was not coming back to any She-Hulk project, so.
Okay.
You know.
I mean, not that they were about to ask her back anyway.
No. I mean, they did set up some stuff in that show about like Hulk having a son and stuff like that, but it never seemed like they were going to pick that up for another season or anything. And like, at the very least, she was going to just end up in like a cameo in one of the movies somewhere.
Well, her loss.
Yeah. But maybe it's just like, you know, there's so much time now between Marvel projects that like these actors have to like make time for. Maybe she was just like, yeah, I want to go do other things.
More power to her.
Yeah.
I like the new number one.
Oh, the half Jem'Hadar and half Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
she reminded me a lot of the alien in Enemy Mine.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Is that Danny Glover?
No, that was oh, what's his name? Oh my God, he was an officer and a gentleman.
Richard Gere?
No, the other guy, the black guy, the drill sergeant. Louis Gossett Jr. Tunit. Yes.
Yep. Okay. I thought there were a couple of weird things in the second episode.
Okay.
Like the sequence where the doctor is singing.
Yeah, that's like straight out of Voyager, though.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense.
I mean, he's been around for 500 years or whatever, so.
Sure.
You know, I guess he's just like learned that he's got a love of opera now. I mean, I guess he did in the show. Great. Too.
Yeah. Also, the I was really confused with the other when the emissary came to. For the big meeting.
Yeah.
If he was telepathically speaking to people and doing sign language, or if that was just the convenience that they were just going to like have him say the lines but not speak the lines when he's signing.
So the voice is coming from the little thing on his collar.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
The actor is actually deaf. So they decided that that's how that they were going to do it. And then that the thing on his collar would be like translating what he's signing. But I also saw a lot of people go, why would he be signing? Why couldn't he just think the thoughts and have it come out? Because I don't even think that they mention the fact that this dude is deaf. Like
I didn't catch that if they did.
Yeah, neither did I. And he just puts the thing on and he starts signing and I'm like, oh, okay, deaf. But like that should have been a plot point somewhere in the show of like this is how he's going to communicate. Because it's never really ever explained that like until he at the very end where he turns it off and uses his own voice to say yes. Where I was like, okay, you could have just somebody somewhere could have just said, yeah, he's deaf. You know, we had to put in a thing so that he can talk to us or whatever. But like that's never mentioned at all.
Right.
So it's a little funky.
It was a little weird. And apparently the Federation of Planets has adopted ASL.
Apparently. I don't know how that was decided on, because that should have been a conversation somewhere.
I would think so.
But yeah, that was a little weird too.
Wow. But yeah, but overall, I really liked it.
Yeah.
You know, let's see where it goes. Yeah. I get very strong Kirk feelings from Caleb.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those. You know, Kirk seemed to fall into line rather quickly in the J.J. Abrams films of like, yeah, he still cheated on the Kobayashi Maru, but like, he was still scheduled to graduate with everybody, and like he wasn't that big of a pain in the ass apparently. And Caleb seems like they're constantly chasing him and he's going to be a big fucking problem.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, sneaking off with the deaf guy's daughter.
But it's to look at some it's cheesy like, oh, CGI well, that's Barry Kirk.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That was one of the things that bothered me was the whales.
Well, there was a lot of stuff that I was kind of like, thought that they were like, I don't know if they were overdone, but like the helper bots, like the one who was like cleaning the window.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, okay, we're going to use our CGI budget on this.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminds me of the Orville.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't there an episode early on in Orville where like Seth MacFarlane is in his like ready room and he's talking to somebody and like there's like a robot out the window that's like making fun of him or something? I kind of remember something like that. And this, the humor in a lot of this feels very Orville to me. The girl that helps the dude that turns that goes outside without the suit.
Yeah.
She looks like the makeup that they put on her makes her very similar to like the security chief on the Orville. Like there's definitely parallels between the two shows.
Right. Was that the Muckluck or whatever he was called?
No. The girl that was like super strong because, like, in their atmosphere, like...
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, she's got, like, and the girl in Star Trek, Starfleet Academy has, like, things over her eyebrows that are, I don't want to say fishy, but, like, not human. And it's very reminiscent of the makeup in the Orville. But I mean, you could go as far to say that, like, the first officer there and the black guy in the Orville is, like, they're kind of similar. Like, it almost felt like the Orville writers got into the Star Trek writing room and was like, hey, let's do these jokes. So I don't know.
Well, it works.
Yeah, I mean it, and the Orville was an amazing Star Trek show. Mm. I mean, you know, Seth MacFarlane always wanted to do Star Trek, and that was his ode to it. And I think these writers were probably fans of the Orville, and was like, hey, they did that, and they had a great show, so let's do some stuff over here.
Right.
So I don't know.
What else have you watched?
I caught up on High Potential.
Okay.
I really liked this week's episode that starts out with the dude golfing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're not really sure what's going on, and, like, I don't know. I felt like it was a kind of return to the first season where, like, they do a bunch of those interstitial things. Especially with, like, when they're talking about, like, Morgan's talking about how she's going to find out where they were hitting the golf balls from, and right. Like, it would cut to the golfers and stuff. Like, it was a return to that original, like, formula that I really enjoyed in the first season. I felt like the ones with the art theft sometimes didn't really go there. And it was more of a straightforward, like, you know, procedural.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and all the stuff that they're doing with Morgan and her family and stuff, just it all just seems to work.
Yeah, that whole subplot about the son trying to get her and his dad back together again. And
yeah.
You know, they're kind of like, it's not going to happen. It's like, we really love each other, but
yeah,
it's not going to happen. We both moved on.
Yeah. So yeah, I really enjoy that show. I think it just keeps getting better too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Let's see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
Isn't she sick or something? She's going to leave the show?
Who?
The one who's not related to WandaVision. What's her name? The main character.
Morgan?
Yeah, what's the actress's name?
Oh, God. Why do you have...
She's an Olsen, isn't she?
No.
Is she Caitlin Olsen?
No, Caitlin Olsen. Yeah, but she's not part of the Olsen family.
Yes.
She's leaving?
I don't know. I thought there was something about it. Yeah, she's going to be leaving to focus on her cancer. Oh, my.
What?
Well, as of last week, there's a photo of her online in a wheelchair with no hair. No, that's not true. Never mind. Fucking clickbait.
I was like, they can't really do the show without her. Oh, okay. So that's all just bullshit, huh?
I guess.
Oh, Don't believe everything you read on the internet.
No, it just sucks because there's so many shitty people. Okay, apparently it was a rumor that was started back in October.
Oh, okay.
Well, good. I'm glad she's not going anywhere.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
So I watched a new limited series. It's only three episodes on Netflix called Seven Dials.
Okay.
It's very much like a Knives Out, but it's an Agatha Christie story, so it's very traditional Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
People die, you're not sure why they're connected, and Helena Bonham Carter is now graduated to playing like the older mother characters.
Okay.
But it was really well done. It's got more Martin Freeman. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Martin Freeman's in it. Bunch of other, but it's really well done because I remember reading the book and the story is just kind of so-so.
Yeah.
But it's in the vein of Knives Out.
Okay.
You don't know who's guilty. You don't know what the real story is. It's very period.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a quick watch of a murder mystery, I would recommend it.
Is it a satisfying murder
mystery? Seven Dials. It was a very satisfying murder mystery, okay. And it ends to potentially become a more ongoing series.
Huh, okay.
It has a very Court of Owls ending.
Okay. I will add that to my list.
I watched that. I rewatched Princess Bride just because it was on and I caught it at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
I did not realize that Dread Pirate Roberts was a real person.
Like,
he was an actual pirate in the Caribbean in the 18th century.
Okay.
I mean, everything about that movie is so good, and it holds up, and I don't know. That's inconceivable to me.
Inconceivable.
Apparently, originally, Carrie Fisher was the choice for Buttercup.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One-time production ground to a halt after Andre the Giant had a 16-second fart.
Oh, Jesus.
To which Rob Reiner said, "Andre, are you okay?" And he responded, "I am now, boss." Oh, the same Swordmaster also was the Swordmaster for the Pirates of the Caribbean and Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a big Deadpool fan, but Deadpool did, or Ryan Reynolds did a version of Deadpool 2 where they cut out all of the cursing and all of the violence and they made it like a PG-13 version. And it's... Mm-hmm. It cuts into the story where they have gone back and they have... redone the kid's bedroom from Princess Bride, and he has kidnapped Fred Savage and tied him to the bed to tell him the story of Deadpool 2.
I've seen clips of that.
Yeah, it's funny as hell. I mean, and that just, it shows you what the legacy of the Princess Bride is. Because it's still in the American zeitgeist, even all this time later, that, like, you know, the Marvel crowd is being is knowing what all the references were, so.
Right.
So, yeah.
Also caught up on Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
I really like what they're doing with it.
Yeah. It definitely
feels more. Coming close to the end.
It definitely feels more put together than season one.
Season one was a lot of introducing all of these characters.
Yeah.
And season two, I think, is quest specific.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they have a purpose, and it's not surviving the camp. I thought the ending of the episode where Percy's mother shows up to rescue them.
Yeah, there's that great scene where Tyson calls her on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And she's in the store, and she's throwing the stuff up on the counter, and she's like, "I've been a mother of a demigod," and like right. The woman's just like looking at her, and it's like, yeah, that would be the, mm-hmm. the right response to that.
Yeah, I felt that this was probably the most focused episode.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't drift into any subplots as much.
Yeah, it was very much them getting off the boat, and then how do they get back to the camp or whatever.
Right. Yeah, so I'm interested to see how they're going to wrap everything up.
Yeah, and my daughter always gets upset when we go to watch it, because the episodes seem to get shorter as the season goes on.
Right.
And she read that the final episode is only like 38 minutes long.
Oh.
And so she was like, well, that sucks. And I was like, well, maybe they can tell the story in 38 minutes. Maybe, you know. I mean, that'd be about an hour show with commercials.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I don't know. The one thing that, you know, they don't need to pad it for anything. So if they can tell their story in a way that answers all the questions and sets up whatever they're going to do next. You know, I kind of remember the season one finale where they went up to this giant battle between Percy and Ares, and that was over in like 3 minutes. And then,
right.
You know, they spent the rest of the episode with all the fallout from that. So while I don't think they're going to do that this time, because there's way too much stuff to get through, I do think that, you know, 38 minutes might be enough.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. And they already shot season three. From what I heard, we're probably getting season three before the end of the year.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah. I think they got to do it before the kids age out. They don't want a Stranger Things issue going on.
That's exactly.
I mean, the main kid, Parker, whatever his name is, Scoble? Parker? Is it Parker Scoble? Mm-hmm. Walker Scoble. He had a huge like growth spurt in between the first two, between the two seasons. So they got to do something, you know, before they turn around and he's even like, he's got an even deeper voice.
Yeah. Right. Did you watch Fallout?
I did.
God, I have so many questions now.
Okay, like what?
So, the ghoul's daughter is the reason the bombs were dropped? Is that what they're hinting at?
I don't know. I'm a little confused on that point. Because when you're first introduced to his character, when he's at the kids' party, the daughter is with him.
Right. Right. But that's also, and they were saying that it's tied into the day she was born.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that either.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know how much you're supposed to take what that guy was saying at face value. I don't know if he's an unreliable narrator in this sense.
Mm.
You know, because the ghoul has lived for a couple of hundred years, so is he remembering it right? Is his, you know, because he's clearly reliving it as he's drinking or whatever. But it's a weird switch because the entire episode he's sitting there and he's talking about how he wants to find his wife and kid and he's been looking for them in every secure vaults that he can find. And then at the end of this, he's ready to just give up and go back to LA because they're threatening to, I guess, kill her or, you know, turn off her cryo chamber.
Right.
But yeah, it is a little weird where the daughter's birthday has something to do with the day that the bombs drop.
Hmm.
Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they've explained it all the way yet.
They have not. They have not. And it, I mean, I never played the video game.
Yeah.
So I'm taking this as somebody who's not up on the lore and trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
I'm sure people who play the video game are more in tune to what's going on and, you know, who the different factions are.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in seeing how this season wraps up.
Yeah.
If it's, I mean, there hasn't been any like really huge reveal yet. Although you're getting more of the backstory between Coop and his wife and what was going on with her.
Yeah.
Kind of manipulating him. But do we know who she was really working for yet?
Not that I have figured out.
Okay. And I wonder if we're going to see Mr. House in like the form he's in the video games in New Vegas.
Okay.
Where he's, you know, pretty much a brain attached to a computer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they kind of show that. He takes him into that room and he's like, this is where we're going to live forever.
Right.
Yeah, I don't see anything online about how his daughter fits into this. I know you were a bit disappointed with the way that Vegas looked in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. Was this one any better for you?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very different take on, you know, the same genre that we keep seeing over and over again.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, humanity being sucked into a hive mind or if it's people living in these bunkers underground and,
yeah,
you know, it certainly has its own twist to it.
Yeah.
I don't... being a prop person, I know about the Nuka-Cola and the bottle caps and stuff.
Yeah.
But I still haven't figured out how they fit in and why they're there.
Well, it's their currency.
Is it just that they... right. Well, you can buy some flea soup.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of... There's a whole lot in the games, I think, that they have tried to... they've tried to bring over into the show almost as homages to the games. And I think, like, while we've seen bottle caps being spent, I'm not really... mm-hmm. I don't really think that, like... they're not really going into, like, how the economy of this new world works. And how, right. like, you know, I don't think they think it's important at this point. You know, maybe in the future they'll be like, oh yeah, okay, so this is how it all works.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very... I think it's more important to the games than it is to the show at this point.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more detail in the games that they haven't really touched on yet. Like, yeah. There's the FEV, there's the Enclave.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot more history behind those pieces.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know yet.
Did you watch this week's Abbott Elementary?
I did.
Yeah.
I love the giant Ben Franklin head.
That all the kids are scared
I
of.
Oh my God. I hope they stay in the mall for a while.
Yeah. I don't know how, like, what their plans are for this and how they've decided that, like, you know, they can just pick up a chunk of time and send them to the mall, but like the mall makes for some great comedy.
Oh yeah.
The fact that Melissa's regressing to her teenage years.
Uh-huh.
And the hair gets higher and more makeup and
looking very Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being home. It's like when I was a kid. That's what all the mothers looked like.
Yeah. Right. And I like that the janitor was standing in for Ava's secretary this week.
He always gets the good lines.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really good writing on that.
Yeah.
I hope the parents don't force them to go back into the school and... because it's like a whole new energy dynamic.
Yeah, and there's a whole new set of challenges that they have to deal with every week.
Right.
And, you know, with the Ben Franklin head or, you know, Melissa finds out there's a Pac-Man game and all she wants to do is play that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so well written and so well produced. It must be a really fun writer's room.
I would think so. Yeah, it was really well done. What else have you watched? Anything else?
That's all I watched.
Yeah. I did watch the new Saturday Night Live with Finn Wolfhard last night.
Oh, I did see the Harry Potter sketch this morning.
Yeah. I thought it was just so-so until Jason Momoa showed up.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it felt like it was going on for just a bit too long. Like what mm-hmm. what are other jokes could they do from this? And then Jason Momoa showed up, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he did really good. He's kind of an odd-looking guy.
Who, Finn?
Finn.
Yeah.
They played on the Stranger Things stuff. Gatton and Caleb, his two buddies, the actors, yeah. were on it.
Okay.
And they did a skit where they're meeting up to, it basically the skit's all about how it was so popular and that they can't just possibly let it end. So here's all the spinoffs we're doing.
Yeah.
And his spinoff became a Sex in the City gag.
Okay.
Which was very funny. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty decent. They did one skit that I didn't think was going anywhere, but it was still funny. There was a, what do they call it? It was a video blog called Snack Homies. And it was like these, you know, 13-year-old boys talking about their favorite snacks.
Okay.
And they were all the girls, you know, looking like little boys, and then Finn at his current age. And they were just like ignoring that he was like an adult now.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. There was stuff worth watching.
Okay.
I fast forwarded through ASAP Rocky.
Oh, geez.
I did notice, you'll have to look at the pictures of him. He had a row of like 1950s old lady curlers in his hair, like right down the middle, like a mohawk.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, that's a statement.
Let me look it up. Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's definitely a choice.
Right.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I think Finn, outside of Stranger Things, I feel like Finn has been cast for his name recognition and mm-hmm. has been vastly underused. I think the dude's a good actor.
I think so too.
I don't understand, like, he was totally wasted in the two Ghostbuster films. Like, they didn't give him anything to do in either one of those. And it's like, are you just trying to get the Stranger Things crowd into the theater?
Right.
You know, and by the time they did Frozen Empire, McKenna Grace was famous enough to probably be the draw without, you know, Finn being there, but they still wasted Finn. Like, he's got nothing to do in either one of those. And
right.
You know, I do think he's a good actor to the point where I feel he gets wasted. And, you know, he's been, I don't want to say cursed because that's the wrong word, but like, he's got a very unique look, with his nose and stuff.
He's going to be playing drug dealers and scary ex-boyfriends for a while.
Yeah. And I feel like that's going to be a disservice to him too.
Yeah.
Cause I think like the emotional range that he shows in the last couple of episodes of Stranger Things, I think is fucking brilliant. And
sure. And
I just don't think that he's going to be given the opportunities because he's not the classical looking lead right. man. And I think that's
Kind of like an Adrian Brody.
Kinda, yeah.
You know, he's got to find the interesting roles because he's not really going to be the heartthrob. He's not really the leading man. You know, he's the Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, but he is making his own stuff.
Yeah, that too. Do you think Stranger Things is officially over? Or do you think that there's a secret final episode coming?
No, I think that story is done. I've heard all the rumors about the supposed final episode or an extended version of the last season or something. But I also think that's bullshit and they're just done. I don't think the Duffer Brothers have any plans on ever coming back. I know that there are some spin-off novels and things like that in the works, but I think you're never going to see something on the scale of Stranger Things, like spin-off from it. I don't think any of those actors would come back. I think, you know, they're done. So, you know, I think if they were going to do something, it would have to be, I mean, that entire story revolved around like Vecna and him being tied to Seven. So or 11, sorry. So I don't, without any of those actors coming back, I don't see how that they could do a spinoff unless it was something really offbeat. So I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it ended in a good enough place, and the cast is never going to be able to play those same roles.
No.
In that same time period again.
Yeah.
So unless it's like, you know, these are the kids of the Stranger Things people, or, you know, adult 11 shows up sometime in the future. I don't think there's really a chance that they could do that. Or you know, the great cash grab. Everybody's got a number.
Yeah, but unless it's the kids, and like not all of them, I don't feel like all of them would do it.
I want to see the adults go out on their own.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there was a lot of controversy too, because when in the finale, when Hopper says that he took a job in Montauk.
Mm-hmm.
The original name for Stranger Things was Montauk. So everybody freaked out going, oh, this is going to be a spinoff. I think David Harbour was waiting for this shit to end so that he could move on with his movie career.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't think he comes back to a Netflix show willingly. So I don't see that happening either. And that was probably your best bet. Like Hooper going somewhere and then strange shit starts to happen again. But I don't see that ever becoming a thing. Especially now, and all the controversy that he's in and all that other bullshit. So I don't know.
Yeah. He just needs to pick some good movies.
Yeah.
And not do a sequel to his ghost movie. Have you seen the trailer for the new Frankenstein movie, The Bride?
I did.
I'm not really into the remaking of classic horror movies.
Yeah.
But all I could think of watching it was, this is Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
And that's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, it's definitely a different, you know, it's not the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. story.
Not even close.
Yeah, it happens in the 20s and all of the you know, all the shit that goes on in the trailer. Like, it definitely looks like an interesting take on the premise of a monster movie.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the DC Monsters animated series they just did.
Yeah.
Where it's the same characters, but they have a life outside of the book.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like Christian Bale, and I don't feel like he would have done a movie that would be like, you know, just a big flop. Like, you know, it's Maggie Gyllenhaal, and yeah, they work together in Batman, but I still feel like Christian Bale doesn't just take scripts to make, even for his friends. Like, it's got to speak to him, and he's got to be like, you know, I mean, it also has Annette Bening in it and Peter Sarsgaard and Jake Gyllenhaal and stuff. So it's got a great cast. As long as it keeps the promise of the trailer where it's like a Bonnie and Clyde with monsters, I'm kind of for that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that just seems like a really cool idea.
Yeah.
And the fact that the monster has survived until 1930 to go to Chicago. But yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I liked the Guillermo del Toro version of Frankenstein, which was a more traditional telling of that of Frankenstein. So, like, we've already had that in the past year. So, you know, this being so far to the left of that gives me hope for it. Do you have a favorite classic monster?
Toss up between The Mummy and Dracula.
Okay. I think my favorite is Frankenstein. I like the
Really? Okay. Yeah, I like the whole Dracula mystique and...
Yeah.
How the book has evolved into something beyond that, you know, well, I was going to say that Bram Stoker couldn't have thought of. And it's like, well, because most of this technology didn't exist when he wrote it. But
yeah,
it's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just something I gravitate towards.
Okay.
So there.
Okay. Yeah, I've always...
You see, Kanye has a new...
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, like, I've always been drawn to the story of Frankenstein, of the idea of, like, the loneliness of the creature and being misunderstood and all that bullshit. Like, I don't know. That's always just kind of spoken to me. And he's like, he's not a monster because he chooses it. He's a monster because he was created.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. What were you saying about Kanye West, the other monster?
He has a track out called Heil Hitler.
Yes.
Is he just desperate for attention?
Well, I mean, he's...
Or is he already canceled?
Well, I think he's already been canceled, but, you know, he came out as a Hitler-supporting, like, whatever, a while ago, and it's like, Hitler would have put you to death, man. Like...
Right.
I don't understand why... And I saw that, like, all the A-level assholes... were in Miami or something last night, and they rolled up to wherever the party was with that blaring, and it was like him and that Tate guy that got his ass kicked in the boxing match a couple weeks ago. Andrew?
Oh, Jake Paul?
No, Andrew Tate.
I didn't think he was allowed in the country.
No, he's back in the country.
That's awesome.
Trump let him in. And
him
and his brother and Nick Fuentes and a bunch of those neo-Nazi assholes. And it's like, none of you would be considered the master race. So what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand.
Yeah.
It all seems a little silly to me.
Yeah. All because of cell phones. Cell phones were the downfall of mankind.
And social media.
Well, yeah.
Cell phones were cool, but
Cell phones then gave you a computer to keep in your pocket, so yeah. You didn't have to run home to your laptop.
Yeah. And smartphones were the death of everything.
Yeah.
Someday we'll look back and be like, what the fuck, man?
I don't think we're going to be able to look back. Yeah. Good times.
I have, so because it actually gets cold here, I have like a winter jacket. And on that winter jacket, I have a Star Trek insignia, like a comm badge mm-hmm. type thing. And I was at Publix the other day, and I was checking out, and the woman behind the cash register was like, oh, I like your pin. Star Trek, right? And I said, yeah, because I got to believe that maybe we'll reach that type of future. I don't think we're going that way, but it's a hopeful future, so I'll try to cling to that. And she gave me this look, and I was like, it's why I wear it, man. I'm not going to mince words with anybody.
Right.
I'd rather have Star Trek as a future than fucking Handmaid's Tale. Mm. Although in Star Trek, they have to go through World War III before they get to that. So we wouldn't see that future anyway.
Mm.
We'd die in the fire.
There you go. Hopefully it's quick.
Yeah.
But maybe Jesus will save us and we'll all just rise up to heaven. Because that can happen too, right?
Sure. Sure. If you want to believe that, sure. All right. And you got anything else for this week?
No.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Beat it, or I'll call the Brute Squad.